This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to have our good friend Scott Hinkey back with us on site consulting. It is onsitedenver.com. That's onsitedenver.com. Their number 720-482-8383. Scott, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you again.
Man, is it hard to believe we're here almost in this last part of the year already?
I know. God, nah. It's hot today, yeah. In Denver, which is unbelievable. You know, sometimes it's snowing in Denver. We never know what it's going to be like this year, but it's been good.
It's been good for sure. We live in a beautiful state. Well, what's been going on in the computer world? What are folks, anything new folks are coming in with, problems that you're like, wow, I've never seen that before? Probably not.
I've been doing this for 40 years, and so I've seen a lot of things, but sometimes you don't see them now. Like, for instance, we're fixing somebody's XP computer. They have a piece of software that's thousands of dollars, and it will only work on an XP computer. So we have to find an old computer that'll support XP. We found out that ones that are 15 years old don't. We have to go back further and find one older that we could load XP on. Then we have to find drivers, which makes the sound and the video work. And I used to do this 15 years ago, but I haven't done it in that long. So the guys in the office are like, okay, now how do you find a Windows XP driver to run your Ethernet? So that thing. But we've got another computer I just worked on this morning that's a Windows 7 computer. And I had to go through this rigmarole to find an older computer that would support Windows 7 to get everything loaded so we can move this guy's program over to another Windows 7 computer. So the kind of things like that. But that's the good thing of longevity, as I've seen this before. Sure. It was a decade ago, but I've seen this before. And, you know, we've got a good staff, and they're all trained with a lot of stuff, mostly the newer stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like I have to show them, okay, on XP, this is how you did this, and this is how you did this.
So what did a laptop, or we'll say a computer, what did a computer run when you first started? I don't even
Oh, like $2,000.
I mean, I thought they were quite a
$2,000 for like a Pentium 1 computer. And then, of course, it goes down in price. And back then, they didn't have trackpads. They had a ball. Mm-hmm. The original ones had a track ball on the thing in there, and you had to roll that. And before that, they didn't even have that. You know, you had to just use DOS. That means use your little arrow keys and go up and down and left and right. So,
wow.
It's been a long time working with computers, and things change all the time.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and I mention that because, hey, Scott said 40 years. These guys just got a great award recently.
Oh, yeah. We got number one IT company in Colorado from the most prestigious company or magazine in Colorado, Colorado Biz Magazine. They feature a lot of businesses and a lot of community things and people who give to the community. And we're number one IT company. So we beat every IT company in Colorado.
And there's a lot.
There's a lot of people. And I'm really proud of that. You know, we want to keep up to that level of customer service that we've had in the past. We have a lot of employees. It makes me feel funny because I have to pay a lot of people in today's payday. You know, we've got 9 employees that we pay, and they're great, and they love computers, and they love helping people. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of got us to that point. We don't think of this as a job, but we want to just a service or a ministry to somebody. Hey, I want to help you out of this mess. And the mess that people are mostly in is everything's crashed, like everything is gone, and or they've been scammed. You know, there's so many scams out there now that are just trickier and trickier. And I have one, I was just looking at it. It said Allstate claim. You need to log into your Allstate account to settle your claim or something like that. And I recently, somebody hit me who had Allstate. So I thought this was the same thing. You know, you kind of just assume that, but you really got to look at it. Mm-hmm. Really? You know, and it's like, this is nothing to do with my car. I already settled that claim. Why would they come to me again after they've already paid me for hitting my car?
Right.
So you just got to think things through and don't instinctively just click on the button, click download, and then your computer's infected.
Absolutely. Again, Scott Hinkey is with us. It is On-Site Consulting. Their address is 6446 East Hamden Avenue in Denver. And you know, I don't know. There's a lot of things we all need fixed, but usually I assume when everybody walks in, you've probably never heard this where they're like, oh, hey, just keep it as long as you need it, you know, just let me know when it's ready. I mean, people are, they want it back like in 5 minutes.
Right. We usually do, we have fast service period anyway. One of our competitors in town has a 3 week waiting period before they will look at your computer. Because they look at, you know, people, when things go wrong, they go to the biggest store that's next to their house. Mm-hmm. And they're 3 weeks before they will turn it on, which is nuts. So we have usually a 48-hour turnaround, so that's really good. And we even have a priority service. We didn't used to do this, but we found out people will pay. There's a place in town that's $200 or $250 to be put in the front of the queue, and the technician drops everything and works on your computer, which you think is crazy. So ours is $100, but people will pay it. And I was surprised, and we'll be glad to drop everything if you want us to. Sure. But, you know, we get things back pretty fast.
Right. So I guess we could say it this way. You fix, you refurbish, and really kind of build from the ground up a custom computer if someone
wants
one.
Right. We do pretty much the whole gambit of things, from tutoring. We even have somebody who just sits with you that explains your computer. I had a lady the other day. This was funny because I was on the phone with her for almost a half an hour. Figuring out what I said, go to the box. She didn't know how to turn off her computer. Okay. She kept pushing the off button, the physical button. And I said, well, that's not really the way to do it. You got to go to the bottom. What bottom? Okay. The bottom left hand corner, but there's four little squares and that's the Windows symbol. You're going to click on that. She goes, oh, well, mine's in the middle of the screen. Okay. I said, well, like Windows 11 puts it on the middle of the bar. I said, I don't think, well, whatever. Just click on those four little squares and a menu is going to come up and you go to shutdown. There is no menu. And when she got really frustrated, and I was getting frustrated, and she brought it in. And she was clicking on the giant desktop picture on one of the Windows backgrounds. It has a Windows symbol. It's like a blue and white symbol that represents Windows on your background screen. You know, not clouds or the cat. It's got a Windows thing. So she was clicking on the middle of the screen because it had the Windows symbol that I was talking about. So anyway, but it took, you know, we work with people, tutoring.
Right.
And we fix stuff. We've got one of the fastest and best repair shops in town. And
does your rate go by age?
No.
Between people always 40 ask and that. 50, this much an hour. Yeah. Over 50, this much an
hour.
Oh,
we should do that.
Yeah.
No, people always ask for a senior discount. I said, are you kidding me? We're faster and better than anybody. We're half price of everybody else. You're getting your discount. They said, well, okay. And they drop it off anyway. But, yeah, we fix stuff. We have a refurbished section. So that means, you know, a lot of computers, you don't need to buy a new computer every single 5 years.
Okay.
You could refurbish it just by putting in a new hard drive, doing updates, the newest operating system and stuff at a lot cheaper price. But some people just want to refurbish their computers. And we buy these from auctions and government and schools and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we'll fix them up and sell them for usually half to a third of the price of a new computer. Right. Some people don't need the fanciest thing out there. So, you know, anywhere from, let's say, $200. So $600. You can get a new computer, high-speed drive, Windows 10, i5, i7. But we've also started building computers. So, you know, we know how to fix a broken computer and a refurbished computer. Of course, we know how to fix a brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
So we go buy the parts, put it together, and you can have a top-of-the-line computer for less than what you get at a retail store, plus higher quality parts. So in a store, they'll put in a 230-watt power supply. That's the thing that puts all the electricity in your computer.
Right.
And when the power spikes happen, those can go bad. We put in a 500 watt, which is twice as good as the other one. We have a lifetime warranty on our memory. Okay, memory doesn't go bad that often, so we put a lifetime warranty on there. And all this at about the same price as one you'd buy at the store. So custom-built computer, let's say somebody wants 16 gigs or they want two hard drives or three hard drives, a special video card, like if you're a gamer. The video card itself is what costs probably half of the price of the computer.
Okay.
So like a $700 video card, they've got ones for now over $1,000 just so you could play your little Fortnite game in your basement, right, with none of your friends because you don't have any friends. But we could take the custom computer, sure, buy whatever video card you want, and put it in there, and you'll have a really high-speed computer available for you.
So what's the most memory?
128 gigs we've put in somebody's computer. Don't know why. Anybody would need that. Other than gaming, if you do like stock quotes and you have six screens on your computer, six, not three, but six screens, maybe you'd come close to needing 128 gigs of memory. But most people don't need that. You know, with the high-speed drives, it's almost like a high-speed, that everything's high-speed.
What's an average computer come with?
Eight.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And you can get by with four. Like my computer at my office, I've got eight in there, and I try to see if I can max it out. You know, when I'm bored, I open up every program just to see what my little meter says. And I'm up to about five. You don't need more than eight.
Gotcha.
People think, yeah, if I have 16, I'll work faster. Well, not really. If you have 32, I'll work faster. Well, I don't know if you're really going to do that. You know.
Right.
And a lot of these people type with two fingers anyway. You're only going to type so fast, no matter how much memory you put into a computer. But some people want the newest, best possible thing. And
sure.
We'll build that for you if you want us to.
Absolutely. Once again, Scott Hinke is our guest. It's On-Site Consulting. Non-geeky guys who can communicate. Hey, that's their tagline. And I promise you, this is a great company. We've been using them for many, many years. And they would love to help you. And Scott's always super kind in helping all of our listeners. So give them a call if you've got any questions or problems. 720-482-8383. Now, you mentioned parts, and I've just been thinking back all these last couple of years and,
yeah.
You know, the automotive guys waiting on chips, different yep. things like that. Has there been a problem along the way over these last few years in getting parts?
There were parts getting video cards all through COVID because everybody didn't go to work. Everybody stayed at home, needed mm-hmm. more than one monitor, and they're playing video games. Like kids are playing video games and adults are playing video games and senior citizens are playing video games. I need a better video card. There was a rush on video cards. You had lines out of the local store here for people waiting till the doors open to get a card if they had any in stock. It's really kind of weird. Prices have just started jumping for the high-speed drives. They jumped 50% or 100%. They doubled in price in the past year,
wow.
which is weird. But then every once in a while, they'll drop again. And it's like, why did they just drop? Doesn't make any sense. And then some of the processors, I just read an article that in October, the Intel processors, when you hear i5, i7, those are Intel processors, and those are going to jump up considerably, like 40% in October.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just starting to hit.
Right. And then I was asking you about scams before we came on air here, what you're seeing, and a lot of these come in email forms, some of them pop-ups. Are most of them pop-ups that get people in trouble, or is it kind of a 50-50 deal?
It's 50-50. People get an email, and it says Microsoft, must be true. It says Wells Fargo Bank, must be true. I haven't had Wells Fargo for 2 years, but you know, that doesn't, you know, you got to think this through. Do I even have Wells Fargo? But the same thing, these pop-ups will come up all the time, and there's a lot of really common ones. We could talk about that in a minute, but people just click on it. Whatever it is on my screen that pops up, I'm going to click on it, and I'm going to do it. That doesn't make any sense, okay? If somebody came to your front door and said, you need to buy this, you don't necessarily buy it. You got to think twice.
Right. So on emails real quick, and then we'll take a break and come back. On emails real quick, what are just some things? If you put the email comes up, as you scan that email, what are just a few of the things that you're looking for to see if that's a legit email? Because some of them are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to use the logos from the company, and that's what catches your attention mm-hmm. if it says Microsoft. But you'll notice that the logo's not right. Like, there's a one for Best Buy, and it's not the Best Buy logo. It just says Best Buy. Also, look at the return address. If it has a Gmail address, it's not that person, you know, or AOL.
Good point, yeah. All right. Once again, On-Site Consulting, we'll come back. We'll talk about pop-ups and, hey, go by and see Scott and his team. They'll be glad to help you. 720-482-8383, onsitedenver.com.
Rates just keep going up, making it harder to buy or refinance a home. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Make your 30-year payment, but own your home in 15 years, all while paying half the interest. Have access to your equity for 30 years without having to refinance and pay more fees. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. There are thousands of customers taking advantage of this simple interest loan. It's times like this when you can really save in your interest costs and pay less. Go to AIMortgage.net and see our Google reviews about the Asset Manager Mortgage. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Get up to 90% loan-to-value and up to $2 million in loan amount, all at the same rate as a $100,000 loan. Whether you want a condo, second home, investment, or cash out, all come with the same rate. No more paying higher fees and higher rates. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Pay less interest and own your home faster. Call 720-895-0500. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
Before we get back to the show, you know, our eyes are very important. Let me tell you who I've been trusting my eye care to. It is Stack Optical. For over 10 years, hey, Alan's been taking great care of us, and he will take great care of you as well. Their eye exam, folks, is only $69, and it has been $69 for years. And Alan just says, hey, they want to give a great eye exam, a thorough eye exam, and take care of you, so they've never raised that price. So get in. Give them a call, 303-321-1578 for all your optical needs. If you're needing a new pair of glasses, hey, you want to have a better experience in the outdoors, whether it's golf, riding your bike, they've got the Stack Sports Pack, so prescription sunglasses. Maybe you've got a hard prescription no one else has been able to figure out. Give Alan Stack a chance at Stack Optical. Of course, they can handle repairs, your contacts, all of it, right there at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com is the website. And always tell you, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, Scott Hinkey is with us, OnSite Consulting. Once again, their location, 6446 East Hamden Avenue, just right off Hamden and I-25 there in the King Supers parking lot. And Scott, just to mention that, man, I mean, when I say easy parking, yeah, King Supers get crowded, yeah. but it is very easy for folks that maybe don't do a lot of walking or whatever. Hey, yeah. Usually you can get a spot right there by your door and just walk right in.
Yeah, I would like to clarify. I used to say we're in the King Supers parking lot, and one person said, you're in the parking lot?
Oh.
Like, do you have a tent? I said, no, we don't have a tent. We're adjacent to the parking lot.
Right. Okay, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but he actually thought I had a tent in the parking lot, so I'm not there.
All right, okay. Good deal. All right, we're talking about these pop-ups and now. So all of a sudden we're all just working line. All of a sudden something pops up, something about you mentioned the antivirus, the Norton and
McAfee. So those are the American antivirus programs, by the way. I mean, people hear about them. Peter Norton was this guy that invented antivirus programs like 25 years ago. He used to be on the front of the box and stuff like that. And McAfee is another American company. So people, Americans, see these things a lot. So they thought, oh, it must be true. First, they're not that great. Usually the European antivirus programs are best because that's where all the viruses are being made, in Europe, which is ironic. But one's called Bitdefender. Kaspersky is from Russia. So now they think Russians are hacking into our computers through Kaspersky. ESET, and there's one called F-Secure, and some other weird names, okay, that most people don't understand. But you get a pop-up that says Norton has expired. You need to do whatever. And so people just click on it, okay? And it's just crazy. You don't have Norton, right? You've never had Norton. And people call us, and they said, I thought you recommended that other European antivirus program. I said, we did. So why am I getting a pop-up for this? I said, because it's a scam. So what it's trying to do is tell you something's expired, like you need to renew it, or you're already expired. They're creating a sense of urgency. So you have to click on it or call the phone number, and then you end up talking to somebody in another country with an accent. Okay, so you know this is probably not McAfee. And they're requiring you to pay $500 for the lifetime subscription of whatever. And you argue, and they say, oh, sir, we discount it to $99.99. And then you say, oh, that's a great deal. Lifetime antivirus for $99.99? Yes, sir, very much so. And then you pay it. So
if you talk to the same guy.
Yeah. But if you – and then you're not just giving them $99 to start with. You're not going to get a product. And you've given a stranger your credit card number. This is a complete stranger.
Right.
Okay? It sounds really good. They said, but he said my firewall was down. I said, no, it wasn't. You don't even have, I mean, Windows has a built-in firewall to keep people from hacking in your computer. Your router from Comcast or CenturyLink or whoever your provider is, they have a built-in firewall to keep people from hacking in. Your firewall is fine, but they use a lot of big words. Oh, your SCSI port is very SCSI, and we need to clean the SCSI off of the port, and you need to get this program to clean it. And so you think you need this, and you pay them $99, right? So you got to not pay them. It sounds – all these scams sound so legitimate, okay? And you've just got to think twice. And you can ask somebody. Call your nephew or your neighbor. Have your neighbor run over and says, is this pop-up real? Take a picture of it with your phone. People do this all the time with us. They'll call us and say, I got a pop-up and it told me to do something. Should I do it? Well, what does it say? I don't remember. Well, did it say Microsoft? I think it did, but maybe it didn't. So if you have a pop-up on your screen, mm-hmm. get your phone out and take a picture of it so you could talk legitimately to somebody else.
Sure.
Okay. We have people all the time coming in and they say, something's not right on my computer. Okay, what's wrong? I don't know. I can't remember. We'll write it down next time and then bring in that note with you to tell us.
So what usually happens, you click on it and, you know, it is one of these scams, and just by clicking on it, does your computer start running different at that instant, or is it over time? Or?
No, usually if you click on it, it's going to pop up a warning that says, warning, you're going to download something. This is dangerous.
And we still do
it. And you still do it. Okay, so it doesn't automatically go. It could,
right.
But most of them actually are downloading a program or something that's going to change your computer, and you're the one, I want to say idiot, you're the idiot that clicked on the button that said, do not click on this button.
Right.
It's very dangerous to do this. Oh, okay, and you click yes, right? And you got to think, that's how they're getting around it, though. You call a phone number, which is a 1-888 number, and they have typos usually. That's what gets me, and it's really funny, to read the typos that somebody has sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Dear blessed sir, we most heartedly want to help you, or something like that.
Yeah.
And so if you see that, that means it's probably written from somebody whose language is not English. Because see, and the reason they do that, nothing to do with people who don't speak English. It's because it's harder to prosecute somebody in another country. Right? Okay. I can't go find the guy in the East that's done this scam. No idea. You could YouTube some things. There are some hackers that can reverse hack somebody. They let somebody remote into their computer, and they find a way to reverse hack into the call center. You know, they have call centers in other countries that teach people how to scam people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good customer service they're teaching. They're teaching you need to tell them there's something wrong with their SCSI port, right? Well, their parallel ports are not parallel anymore. And, you know, they get you to believe this stuff.
Right.
And you end up paying them thousands of dollars. I've had people scammed out of tens of thousands of dollars because they fell for one of these. I'm not kidding. Life savings. We had one lady, I read about it in the Washington Post or one of those places, that was scammed out of something like $200,000. She mortgaged her house because she was told by the FBI that this is what she needs to do to catch this criminal. Okay? And it went over a period of months, not just a quick phone call,
mm-hmm.
but they kept calling her back and had this whole scheme going for months. So they said, you're going to go to the bank. You got to get a line of credit, but don't tell them why you're getting the line of credit. That'll let the scammers know that we're on to them. Okay? They kept going on and on, and she sent these people $200,000.
Wow. So now we click on it, we see our computer's messed up, we bring it to you, then what's your first steps in once you feel like something's wrong?
First, we got to find out if they're still logged into your computer, and they usually are. If you let somebody into your
computer. Can you track that?
We can't track it
okay.
of where it came from. We could find an IP address, which is, it'll tell you somewhere in India or somewhere in Singapore, you know, but that doesn't help you find the guy.
Sure.
And the point is we just get the program off that they put on there. I've had people with three programs on there before, three remote programs. That means this is the third time they've been scammed. They just called me the third time. I said, you got three programs running. People are in your computer. Oh, are they doing anything? I don't know. They've been on there for months. This one said it was installed 6 months ago. And there's ways you can capture people's passwords off the computer. So if you let somebody in there, one of my questions is, did they ever open a screen with a bunch of passwords on there? Because there are places in the computer that store all those passwords, little stars, you know? And you could go in there, you as a person or the scammer could go in there and see all of your passwords for mm-hmm. your bank, your IRA, your retirement account, your investments account. And if you do, you've got to change all those passwords. And my clients hate it when I say that you have to do that. They said, oh, it's really not that bad, is it? I said, yes. You may get identity theft in the next month, or you should just go change all your passwords for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
You got to log into First Bank. You got to change your password. You got to get, you know, this back and forth. It'll take you 15 minutes per password. And if they saw all your passwords, you should do this for all your accounts, which is a couple hours.
Sure. Once again, if you're just joining us, Scott Hinke is with us. It's Onsite Consulting, onsitedenver.com. That's O-N-S-I-T-E, denver.com. The phone number is 720-482-8383. One thing I want to mention before we get out today is your ability to transfer from one computer to another. Someone buys a new computer, and normally it changes a lot what the pages look like and where different things are that we're all used to. And yes, you did this for Victoria, my wife, and did an excellent job. But man, I think she had this new computer for a year just because she was afraid. And we hadn't really talked about it much on the show, and now that's why I always want to bring it up, because there may be other folks like that. But and I think you're only – I mean, I don't know of anybody else that does it.
I don't know anybody either that does it the way we do.
Yeah.
So what the way we used to do it was the way that everybody used to do it, is we send somebody out to your house. Because I remember talking to your wife. She said, last time, Travis was here for 4 hours. You know how long it took him to get all my shortcuts in the right place? 4 hours. I said, I know. And Travis is a technician, and he's still with us. We had to go to move their data, like move their pictures and stuff. And then we go to their house and say, Victoria, what did your toolbar look like? Oh, I had First Bank and this and that. We had to go set up all those things. And all of your passwords are now gone too, right? The saved passwords. So we'd have to have people set that up. And we have to install your printer and your wireless and your solitaire and everything, right? It took 4 hours. So now we have this way that we can kind of like take a snapshot from one to another, and everything moves. Favorites, your passwords, your Wi-Fi, your printer settings. So your Wi-Fi passwords is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. It moves over, and you get there and you go, wow, cool. And you're just up and running pretty quickly. That's what we're doing right now. I told you about this Windows 7 to Windows 7. We have to use this program to move all of his proprietary stuff to this other computer, and we use this special method that keeps every one of his icons and settings in the right place. And as far as I know, we checked with the company. We have a tool that we use, and we're the only ones in the state of Colorado that use it. I don't know why. Everybody should know about this, so I'm not going to tell everybody what we do. But it's awesome. All this stuff moves over. All your favorites, your history of the web pages you've been on and stuff like that. So we keep it. We know that people are upset when change happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to avoid that tire. We used to have to send somebody out to their house, even if we did this, and make sure everything's okay. Now we don't even do that. We say, okay, go home, plug it in. That's all you got to do when you get home. And that's what we did with your wife, Victoria.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. She was freaked out for 2 days, like, are you sure this is going to go okay? But we made her happy.
Exactly.
I know.
All right, last minute here, but people need to follow you on social media, Facebook and all, because, you list a lot of great deals there.
Yeah. We've got a YouTube channel, which is kind of good. We'll film some weird stuff that happens in the office, weird spiders that we find in computers and really weird stuff. So we got a YouTube channel. We have an Instagram. I think it's called Computer Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S. I don't know if that's it or not, so why don't you guys look it up? But you can contact us mainly through the office. We've got a website, OnSite Denver, and then we have our refurb area, and that's a whole different website, PCs for Seniors. PCS, 4 is the number 4, and then Seniors. You can see a lot of our computers there. We don't keep that website perfectly up to date because we sell so many every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just hard. It takes us longer to post a picture.
But you're talking computers, you're talking printers, you're talking...
Yeah, we don't do printers.
I meant monitors.
Yeah, monitors. Printers are a pain. Printers are a pain. Go buy another printer. And we don't fix printers. People ask us all the time, how can I get my printer fixed? We know one place in Denver, not too far from the station, that fixes printers, and it's going to be like $150.
Dude, like you say, go buy a new one.
Right? Yep. $150. Most. Yeah, so we could jiggle a printer for you and jiggle a cartridge and put it back in, but that's about all we do.
Exactly. Well, Scott, as always, thank you very much. Congrats again on being the best IT company in Colorado.
Woo-hoo.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Hey, we only give you the best here on Haystack Help Radio, and Scott is it with his crew at OnSite Consulting. So, hey, you got any computer issues at all, give him a call, 720-482-8383, 6446 East Hamden. And once again, it's onsitedenver.com. Scott, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
What's in a name? For Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the name perfectly describes the state-of-the-art veterinary medical facility that we trust. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and for over 20 years, trust is why we have chosen Lone Tree Vet for all of our pets' medical needs. They provide a wide variety of medical and surgical services and utilize state-of-the-art methods, protocols, and technology. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, you can trust the medical team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. We all know that making the decision for our pets to have a medical or surgical procedure is not always an easy one, but at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they understand the hesitation and anxiety that accompany leaving a pet for any type of procedure. Whether it's a spay or neuter surgery, a laparoscopic surgery, or a complex orthopedic surgery, the professional team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is dedicated to making your pet feel comfortable and special. If your pet needs medical care, call 303-708-8050 today. That's 303-708-8050. And for more information, visit them online at LoneTreeVet.com.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Let me remind you, coming up next is Food Chat. Hey, this is a great show, and you're going to learn a lot about food, where it comes from, food production. Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb will be with you, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Food Chat.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney, and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle. 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get a rattle. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Hydraulic fluid. Hi, and welcome to Food Chat. Food Chat is about everything about food. Your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb. Greg, good to see you again.
Good to see you. And yeah, here we are on our mission to help people understand how food gets from the farm or the wherever it comes from, the ranch, to the table. You know, because most of us aren't in food production anymore. Less than 1.5% of Americans are involved with food production.
Yeah. You know, Greg, it just dawned on me that you're more comfortable on the wholesale side, but my career has been on the retail side.
Right.
You know, you know the growers and the producers and the packers, but I'm the one that knows the chefs and the restaurants and the recipes. It's pretty interesting how we can play off each other with that.
Yeah, it's great. I think that's what makes this show interesting is that you're on that side of the fence. You have been for your whole career, and I've been on this side, the wholesale side of the fence.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I've been visiting farms and ranches and USDA plants, worked in six of them, and you've been training people how to cook, worked in kitchens, worked in commercial kitchens. You can feed big, huge groups of people. You know about food safety. So, yeah, I know how to get the meat to your door, and then you know how to cook it.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about our guests today, I don't know what they're doing over there. And so it's great that we have our guest today, Steve Williams, with JBS in Greeley, one of the larger meat packers in the world. And, Steve, welcome to Food Chat.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And you said, yeah, I'm in Greeley, Colorado. And John Barker, who is in Fed Beef, does our data analysis, our grids and formula, is also here with me as well.
Well, welcome to our show here. And as you've heard, you know, I'm a chef by trade, so I'm the end user of whatever product you're producing. But Greg seems to kind of know everything. So, you know, and a lot of our listeners at Food Chat, they're lay people. They don't know how cattle are raised, how they're moved, how they're taken to feedlots, how they're processed. So, you know, my first question for you, how did you get into the position that you hold at JBS? And can you tell us a little bit about your background and how it's led to this great career?
Sure. I grew up in Oklahoma on a small farm and ranch. I grew up with a lot of stocker cattle and mama cows in the very southwest corner of the state. Went to Oklahoma State University and then started working in the feedlot business. I met a guy from Colorado called me up and hired me to get in the packing business. Dick Monfort, who owns the Colorado Rockies now, had this company here based out of Greeley called Monfort of Colorado. And I started buying cattle for Monfort of Colorado for the Dumas plant in the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma, Guymon, Oklahoma, and then came to Greeley in 1998 and have been here in cattle procurement ever since.
That's a great background. So can you describe for us what it's like to be a cattle buyer? You know, you're covering a lot of territory out there. And, you know, I would imagine that just like anything we would purchase, there are good ones and there are bad ones. Give us a little insight as to how that works.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A cattle buyer, it's an art. It's not a science. We have about 30 cattle buyers from really all over the center of the U.S., if you will, kind of from Texas up to South Dakota would be where we cover the majority of the feed yards. And you're right. It's in the corn area, the corn belt, if you will. And there's a lot of variations in the type of cattle. So they're out there. They start their day. A lot of them start early Monday morning looking at the cattle, going to feed yards, seeing which ones that the producer says are ready. And we sort through those, and then we start, you know, asking the producer what he wants for him, what the market's going to be, and start, it's a bibble, you know, a bid and quibble system, if you will, and start bidding on cattle first thing Monday morning, a lot of times for the next week or two's harvest. So what they're looking for out there in the country right now, there's a lot of premium programs are tied back to black-hided cattle that are upper two-thirds choice or prime. So they're looking for those black-hided type cattle that are fat and will grade upper two-thirds in choice and prime as stamped by the USDA graders.
Very good. You know, Steve, there's a lot of great ag schools out all through the West, through the Corn Belt, as you've mentioned. Tell us about how did you learn this trade? Granted, you kind of grew up in it, and that's really how I learned my trade. But any schooling regarding animal husbandry or anything like that?
Yeah, I was an animal science graduate at Oklahoma State and took lots of courses, you know, in animal nutrition and animal health. And as you said, I grew up in it. And then, as I also said, John Barker is here with me. He's a local. He's a Denver guy and went to Colorado State. I'm going to let John talk a little bit about his background at Colorado State and how he got into cattle procurement.
Thank you, Steve. As Steve said, I grew up in Denver, no exposure to agriculture growing up. I was just always fascinated by it and then went to college at Colorado State University and decided while I was there to get an ag business degree. And it definitely has served me well, learned the lingo of the trade, if you will, different commodities and the issues producers face, and that really set me up to get in with Five Rivers right out of college, where I was working in their Kuhner feedlot as a feed management trainee, and then did that for about a year before moving into cattle procurement here at JBS.
Hey, John, I'm a CSU alum. You just put the biggest smile on my face.
Hey, John.
John's smiling big here, too.
Yep.
I have a question for both of you that you can take turns answering or both give a little bit of insight to. I used to be a cattle buyer, very small. I bought 3 to 5 loads a day for a small plant, so nothing like what you guys buy. But I would find producers or slaughter plants that I bought carcasses from, and I bought live cattle too, but I would find ones that I liked. They produced consistent quality cattle, and I would just buy over and over because I knew them. I didn't need to go look at the cattle every time. I would go a couple times during the year, but you know, week in and week out, they were producing some high-quality cattle. I wasn't doing any video buying. I didn't do any of that. But look, I would like you to explain a little bit how cattle are bought. I always bought based on a formula that was contracted out front. I never did cash or spot buying. But could you talk about the ways you buy cattle? You buy some on cash and some on spot, and you buy some on a grid. Would you explain that to our listeners who know nothing about this?
Yeah, that's a really good question and gets to the heart of what John and I do every day. I buy cash cattle on a day-to-day basis. I'm in charge of the cash buys for Cactus, Texas, and Grand Island, Nebraska. Fred Nichols is in charge of Greeley, Colorado, and Hiram, Utah. And when I say cash, it's either live or dressed. So it's the buyers I was talking about looking at cattle and bidding. You know, for example, the last trade, you know, last week was 242 dressed in Nebraska, 150 live in Texas, 150 to 153, you know, across the country. And basically, that's a live price for 100 weight. You pay that for the cattle, they weigh them up, and as soon as they cross the scales, you know, the ownership transfers over to the packer. That's about half of what we buy is a spot or live or dress cash buy is what we call it. The other half of our buy would be either a grade and yield, a grid, or a formula, and that's what John does every day, and I'm going to let him describe what he does every day.
Yep, so we'll start with what a formula buy is. A formula buy is if you have a cattle feeder that wants to turn in 200 head of cattle at the start of the week and not worry about trading them, you can pick a market to price them off of. So a lot of cattle feeders will use the 5-area weighted average, whether it's a live buy or live price or a dress price. So that's the formula. You're just agreeing to buy the cattle on a set or on a price that's going to be determined from a market report. Then you also have your grade and yield, which is a grid cattle. The best way I like to describe that is you're paying for what you're getting. So if a producer sends in cattle that are all primes and CABs, they're going to bring back some extra money because they're getting paid for that increase in quality. On the other hand, if they don't meet the plant average in quality, they're going to get discounted. So it's a way to pay more for the good grading cattle, but also protect us on the poor grading cattle. So you're paying for what you're getting.
Yeah, and I bought cattle both ways, John. And, you know, what I found was the fairest way for me was to buy the yield and grade, because if I had dark cutters or bloodshots or cattle that graded select or didn't grade, then, you know, I wasn't paying a premium for them, you know. But, John, a question about, you know, you said there's different ways, different live market reports. So do you buy both off live cattle and box beef prices or just off the live cattle market?
It'd be the live cattle market or the dress cattle market, so paying for the cattle as they cross the hot scale.
I see what you mean, yeah. And do you think, like, what do you think is the most fair way for the packer and most fair way for the producer as far as which way you go?
You know, we take very seriously, whether it's feeding the animals or marketing the animals, we think the producer, and I saw your podcast, I was actually listening, you had Dan Timmerman on, you know, guys like that know more about handling the animals and taking care of them, how they want to market them, than we do. So we're here to buy them. However the producer wants to sell them, that's how we're here to buy them. And really, they own the cattle. It's their call as to what they want to do. But we're very careful not to get over into that and telling people how they need to market their cattle.
You know, sometimes we think bigger is better. Some cattle industry people are critical of the size of the big four packing companies. But I would imagine there are efficiencies in larger operations versus smaller operations. You know, what do you say to those folks that are critical to those larger packing operations?
Yeah, you're right. There has been, especially during COVID, there's been a lot of light shined on, you know, the big four, they would call them, in the market share. You know, I started buying cattle, as I said, for Dick Monfort in Texas in 1990. It was 1994 to 5 when I went to work for Monfort of Colorado. From 95, when I got in the business, until today, the market share really hasn't changed. You know, in the late 80s and 70s, there was a lot of consolidation. And I guess I have two thoughts on that is, you know, historically the return on assets has been really small in the packing business. You know, the last 3 years have obviously been record profits for the packers. You've seen that, and that's a fact. But before that, you know, the last 20 or 30 years, it's really small margins. And, you know, the economies of scale really came into play. A lot of the packers went out of business, and a lot of them, the margins are razor thin. So those things happen. And then COVID happened. There was a plant fire at a plant in Kansas, you know, a couple of years ago. So some dynamics changed in the industry. But I would say that's all kind of evened out now. I mean, if you look at the price of boxed beef and you look at the price of cattle, packer margins have normalized, and they're back into that low single-digit returns. And so I think there's been a lot of new plants been announced and planned, and I think we welcome the competition.
Steve, I've always said that when you look at the 3 and 5 year trends for cattle, you look at a graph over the last 30 years, the ups, the downs, there's times when big packers make a lot of money, and there's times when big packers lose a lot of money. And you have to have very deep pockets to be in the downside when you're paying more for live cattle than the boxed beef market's really going to support. Like right now, live, why don't you speak to the market right now? Like right now, we have a lot of cattle in the feedlot. Dan Timmerman talked about the number of cattle, especially cows and heifers, in the feedlots right now. And, you know, that's not really, it's turning into nice high profits for box beef right now. Consumers and wholesalers like me are enjoying some nice prices right now for the holidays for box beef. But that's going to change. So would you talk about maybe the market now and the market maybe in six months, what you predict?
Yeah, I think one thing that we don't talk about enough is our business is really tied back to Mother Nature. You know, we need rains across these arid parts of the country and in parts of Colorado, quite honestly, eastern and southeastern Colorado. You know, some of these ranches where there's not a lot of population, New Mexico, Texas, even parts of Missouri. And it's been really dry the last 2 or 3 years, and so a lot of these cow herds have liquidated, and you know because of the drought, and so that and a lot of those, as you talked about, the cattle on feed number can be a little deceiving, because as it's been dry, a lot of the heifers that normally would be kept to rebuild these herds have had to go into the feedlots because there was no other place for them. So the cattle on feed numbers are actually quite high. But you're right. The harvest, as I talked about, after COVID is kind of normalized. You know, you can see we're harvesting as an industry 650 to 660,000 head every week. So we're going through these cattle on feed numbers fairly quickly. But behind them is going to be tighter numbers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think 2000, when you look out there in 2023 and even beyond, you know, you could conceivably see a 5 to 7% drop, you know, in beef production next year.
Excellent, Steve. You know, Steve, there's it's a crazy business, that's for sure. But if you had a magic wand, what are some of the things you'd change about the beef industry if you could? You know, I would say off the top of my head, too many regulations, too many critics, too many. What's your take on that?
I think you always have those type things. I agree with you. Mother Nature is a big part of our business, you know, and generally, not just the packing business, but the cattle business, getting young people into it and getting young producers into it are always concerns and things that we would change. I'm going to turn this over to John and let John take a shot. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I'd say getting young people into the business is number one. Keep the legacy of these ranchers and these cattle feed or the feedlots going into the future, seeing that moving on. It's one of the pleasures of our job is working with these individual families that own a feed yard. There's not many jobs I can think of where you have the privilege of learning about somebody's history in agriculture in Colorado or whether it's Nebraska. So that would be number one. And then also finding a reliable source of team workers or coworkers to work in the office, work in the plant, do all the different jobs we have. I mean, we're now seeing decent labor numbers, but it's always a struggle getting good team members that are excited to come to work each day.
Right, yeah, that's for sure. And we had just about a month ago, we had Cheyenne Meckendeffer on the show, who's a cattle producer herself, grew up in the ag industry, and works for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And we asked her, you know, about the same question. And she said, yeah, getting young people to know there's some great careers in ag, you know. And, you know, it's not like a lot of high school, even in the urban areas, that's not their, you know, they don't even think about going into the ag world, but there's some great careers in ag, and there's some great careers on the chef side of it too, that Chef Jackson speaks of before. I have a question for you, John, since I have you at the mic. I wanted to ask you about the Mercantile Exchange, and they call it the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. What role do futures for people buying cattle futures? These people don't own cattle. They may not even know anything about the cattle business, but they're making money off the futures. But what role does the CME play in what you do?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the cattle futures are a way for whether it's a feedlot or a packer, to mitigate their risk, to take a position in the futures and to lock in a price or lock in a return on their cattle. So if the futures are at a high compared to where they bought the cattle, they can go and contract the cattle and lock in that price and then guarantee a return on their cattle. So it's really a tool for managing our risk, but it's also traded by different funds or bankers might trade them as well. But really risk management is the goal of the CME.
So it's not just bankers and people totally unaffiliated with the industry, but it's actually producers themselves. And would it be feedlots, too, that are trying to mitigate their risk?
Yep, primarily feedlots.
We really need a strong CME. We need a strong cattle contract. And we need strong longs. We need long participation in the market because, you know, right now, if you're a cow-calf producer or you're a feedlot producer and you want to manage your risk and say you want to hedge June cattle and that's the way you manage your risk, in order for you to go sell a June contract or hedge your cattle out there in the summer, you need somebody on the other side of that trade that's willing to buy it. But like John said, whether it's a banker, whether it's a commodity fund, whether it's an individual speculator, whether it's an investor, whoever it is, you need a strong long to participate in the cattle contract.
Yeah, and I think that's especially true because it's beef production. It's not pork production or poultry production, which have a much shorter life. I've always wondered, you know, how these ranchers figure out how many cattle they're going to raise in 3 years and how many heifers do they want to retain and how many, you know, how do they project the market in 3 or 4 years? Do they have any tools?
That's it. I mean, that you need that strong CME. And there's also some tools. You know, the government has come out with a couple of pretty interesting risk management tools, a livestock risk protection program that where the government helps subsidize some risk protection out in the future. And then they can also get, you know, drought insurance that's also subsidized by the government. There are some tools for the cow-calf producer out there. But again, it goes back to the basic tenet of risk protection is you need someone willing to take that risk off of your hands. And so, and as cattle producers, you know, you're always looking to sell into a futures market.
Yeah, and even with those tools, you know, I've talked to enough cattle producers that have been in it long enough, usually generations, that they know there's years they won't make money, and they know there's years they'll break even, and they know there's years they'll make a lot of money. But when they make a lot of money, they put some in the bank because it might not be so good the next year. Because it's like you said, Steve, it's, you know, this industry is highly reliant on the weather and droughts and things that we really can't control. So, Steve, I have a question for you. We have a few minutes left in the show, but what are some of the things that you might change about the cattle industry if you could?
Growing up in this, and I really enjoy the cattle industry. I mean, there's always going to be conflicts, and there's always going to be disagreements. And I think, you know, if I could change one thing from our perspective, it's that the packer is a part of the industry, and you know, we want everybody part of our sustainability and long-term strategy is there. You have to have suppliers that are profitable. You know, we need suppliers to be healthy, the same way we need our customers to be healthy. And I think those are the things. And through this, we talked about, you know, keep coming back to the weather and the drought and the ups and downs of the cattle cycle and the cow herd. We really need a consistent market where you know, everyone gets a piece of the pie, so to speak.
Right. I like that answer, Stephen. If I could change one thing about the cattle industry, and I'm not an active participant, I'm a wholesaler and I buy and sell it and I export some, but, you know, is that, you know, we're all in this together. We need the elements of the industry. We need the calf operator to understand that the packer's not their enemy and that, you know, everybody in the middle is, you know, we're all a family. We all need each other to produce high quality beef, or the rest, it doesn't work, you know. And sometimes I go to small little, you know, places, little ranches, you know, and they're upset about maybe the margins that the big cattle producers are making right now, the slaughter plants. And I have to remind them that, you know, look at the years back, look at the trends, you know. So Chef Jackson he's raising his hand, he has a question for you.
No, we're just about out of time here, Greg, but, you know, I'll tell you, as a chef, I'd like to just ask, is there any particular cut both of you prefer?
Well, I'll tell you, I like, and I guess I can give a shameless plug here, Greg. We have an Aspen Ridge product produced here in Greeley. It's a product that a lot of it originates from Colorado cow-calf. The 90% of it's, you know, is fed and raised here in Colorado, and it's all natural, no antibiotics, no hormones ever. And I like the fillet out of that. You know, second would be a strip, either one. And most of about 30% of the Aspen's prime and about 70% of its choice. It's about 100% choice and above. And those cooked on a grill medium are my favorite.
Oh, it's funny you asked that question. I just, right before this interview, I finished bragging about a prime rib I cooked this weekend and how delicious it was. Cooked to prime rib on the Traeger, turned out perfectly. That's one of my favorite cuts.
Hey, on the Traeger, what a great way to go. Fantastic.
Well, I do love that Aspen Ridge program. Stephen, glad you mentioned it. It's a great local program, and all produced here in Colorado as far as the processing of the beef. And I see it in restaurants all over. So, yeah, great, great program. So, hey, both, I want to thank you both, Steve and John, for being on our show today.
Steve, John, go Rams. Thanks a lot for coming on and spending 30 minutes with us. This was a great interview.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
Today's Food Chat episode was brought to you by RanchFreshMeats.com. RanchFreshMeats.com finds the best quality beef in the marketplace, but not only beef, bison and chicken and lamb and all kinds of great proteins that come from family farms that we know personally. And if not the farm, then the USDA plant. So go to RanchFreshMeats.com and sign up for the weekly newsletter, because every week we pull a name at random and give away a box of meat. RanchFreshMeats.com. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.